Hello, sex fans, and welcome back. Today is Monday, June 10th, 2013, and you are lucky enough to be listening to the podcast edition of Dr. Dick's Sex Advice with an Edge. And I'm your host, that savagely scintillating sexologist, Dr. Dick.
You got any whiskey? How about you give me a glass of whiskey?
How about you let me finish my show first? Cartoonist Erica Moen is back today, and she's here to dish out even more of her signature delightfulness for this, the Erotic Mind Show. But wait, you didn't miss part one of our chat, did you? Well, not to worry if you did, because you can find it and all of my podcasts in the podcast archive on my site, drdicksexadvice.com. All you have to do is use the search function in the header, type in podcast number 378, and voila! But don't forget to use the pound sign when you do your search.
You really are stupid, you know that?
What, because I didn't get you whiskey? All right then. So Erica invites you to visit her on her site, cleverly named ericamoen.com. And be sure to look for her on Facebook and Twitter, too. She has a wonderful Tumblr site and an outstanding blog that you will not want to miss. You'll find all of these links in today's podcast posting. Today, we welcome a brand new sponsor to our show. Join me in welcoming Spunk Lube. Okay, so besides the very clever name, is there anything noteworthy about the Spunk Lube product line? Well, you're damn tootin' there is. Take, for example, their best-selling product, Spunk Hybrid. This stuff is phenomenal. It looks and feels just like cum, but without all the stickiness and messy cleanup. Spunk Hybrid is perfect for use with all your sex toys, even your expensive silicon toys, and it's condom-safe, too. It cleans up really easy, it's non-staining, and in fact, it's the perfect mixture of water-based and silicon-based lube there is. Oh, and did I mention that it looks and feels just like your own spooge? I gotta tell you, Spunk Lube will revolutionize your sex play. I happen to know that jizz is a powerful aphrodisiac for most guys, and for a lot of women, too. Folks love to see it. Folks love to play with it. Folks love to rub it in their skin. It's a huge turn-on for so many of us. Well now, with Spunk Lube, you get to indulge your little cum fetish as much as you like and have a ball doing it. But hey, don't take my word for it. Check out the rave reviews the Dr. Dick review crew gave Spunk Lube. Mosey on over to drdicksextoyreviews.com. Use the search function in the header, type in Spunk Lube, and presto! The review is full of praise for the product as well as numerous links to the SpunkLube.com site where you can pick up your own supply. Do it now! That's SpunkLube.com.
I got married when I was 28. I met a man, I loved him, I married him. And then he wouldn't have a baby right away, and I said no, that we should wait. And then he gets hit by a bus.
Oh no, that's a terrible story. Anyhow, on with the show. Erica, welcome back to DrDickSexAdvice.com and this Erotic Mind show. It's so wonderful to have you. I had such a good time with you last week. You are a real kick in the pants. So thanks for more of you.
Thanks for having me back.
Good, good, good. So I want to talk a little bit about, last week we ended the show when you were discussing Bucko and your collaborations and the change in genre that you were doing. Question, what comes first, the story or images, or is that dependent on the project?
For the most part, it depends on the project. Usually script comes first for most everything. Whether it's my auto-bio stuff, I always keep a sketchbook with me, and when something happens that I think is noteworthy, I'll write it down, I'll do a little transcription, and then comes the stick figure, you know, mocking down how I'm going to pace things. And I'd say script usually comes first.
Cool. Do you self-publish? And if yes, does that not require a complete different kind of skill set than just being an artist?
Well, I self-publish. I get published by publishing houses.
Oh, good.
I do it all, really.
Oh. So are you a marketing guru as well as a fabulous artist?
I wish.
But you are everywhere. I mean, your online presence is marvelous. I mean, it's so vibrant and so alive and so, you know, joyful. Oh, if you ask me.
Thank you so much.
It is. It's true. And speaking of joy, finally, we're going to get to talk about something that is near and dear to us both, adult products and sex toys. I can't get over your site, ojoysextoy.com. What a hoot.
Thank you very much.
So there's a boatload of folks who do product reviews, myself and the Dr. Dick review crew among them.
Mm-hmm.
But even our cheeky stuff can't compare to the Ojoy sex toy comics. So tell us how that got started.
Well, I guess, so 8 years ago, I did this comic called Girl Fuck, which was a little tiny, it was a 16-page pamphlet, really, that was an illustrated comic guide to the very, very basics of how two cisgender women would have sex with each other, because I was with my girlfriend at the time, and we would get all these strangers coming up and asking us really inappropriate questions.
What do you do?
Yeah, just like, so wait, how do you have sex with this much penis? Or if you use a dildo, doesn't that mean you actually want a man? And the thing is, when you yell at somebody, nobody learns anything.
That's so true.
And I really, like, so people are asking inappropriate, rude questions, and they deserve to be yelled at, but at the same time, those questions are coming from a place of ignorance.
Right.
And I think it's better to educate. I mean, not, and I'm not saying everybody's obligated to educate when somebody's being an asshole to them. I'm definitely not saying that. But for me, personally, I think it's sad that people can't imagine sex without a penis going in a vagina.
Right.
I would like people to think beyond that. So I did this comic. It's kind of out of date now. It was 8 years ago. The times have changed. but it was a very friendly, jokey edu comic about how this could work.
Mm-hmm.
And that was about the time that I met my future husband, Matthew, and he loved that comic. He was like, Erica, this is brilliant. This is friendly. It's educational. It teaches people. You need to do more comics like this. And I was like, yeah, I know. I'll do it someday. And over the course of the next decade, I did do a comic here or there that would touch on some educational aspects.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't. They weren't like the focus of my work.
Right. And on top of it, it's such a disarming genre, it seems to me, because hot button issue, sex is, mm-hmm. for so many people, but you know, when it's presented in such a charming, again, mm-hmm. charming sort of way, it's very disarming. And
exactly. Comics are an amazing subversive tool for education.
So true.
Because, listen, how many times have you been on the street and there's a nut who has written up a pamphlet about why Obama is evil or Bank of America? I mean, Bank of America is evil, but, you know, they write up their manifesto and they're just,
uh-huh.
handing it out. And you're like, okay, thanks, buddy, and you toss it.
Yeah.
But you pair it up with images. And I don't just mean clip art. I mean images that reflect the content.
Yes.
People, we as a society are trained to read that, because every single billboard you pass,
yes.
is a picture with text.
Yes.
It's on your cereal box. It's in every magazine.
Yes.
It's like, we cannot not read something if it's got pictures on it.
Right. And on top of it, it's so commonplace and, you know, it's so part of our culture that it takes some of the onus away from, you know, the topic of sexuality, it seems to me. It's just like, oh, it must be okay because, you know, look, it's in this form, for example.
Yeah, well, so sex is super touchy for a lot of people. A lot of people have very negative associations with it.
Right.
And if I can make it super cute and super funny and make the reader feel like they're in on a joke, you know, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's helping somebody maybe see from a different point of view that they wouldn't normally approach.
Right.
And I've had a number of people say, listen, I am not interested in sex toys. This is not my jam, but I really like your comic and I'm going to keep reading it because it's entertaining.
Right.
That's awesome. Like, and I'm not trying to make everybody think like me.
Right.
But I want to entertain, I want to educate, I want to do both of those at the same time.
Right. And And what better topic than, you know, human sexuality and adult products, because, you know, there's virtually nobody else doing it. Certainly not, as far as I know, nobody that's doing stuff quite like you.
Not quite like me, although I didn't erupt from a vacuum, though.
No, that's true enough. I mean, who of us does?
I gotta give a big shout out to Ellen Forney. She's a Seattle cartoonist who's done a lot of work for The Stranger, and she pioneered this, I would say. She's done the educational comics about sex, about people in the sex industry, and she's got a wonderful collection that was printed by Fantagraphics called I Love Led Zepp. And she also did this great book called Lust, I believe, which, again, published by Fantagraphics, where she would illustrate the kinky personal ads from The Stranger. It's gorgeous. I have one of the original pages on the book, actually. So I'd say she kind of pioneered this.
Wow.
And then there's this amazing children's book that was originally published in the UK. And, oh, God, what's it called? I think it's called something like It's Perfectly Normal or something. And it was illustrated by Michael Emberley and a lady writer whose name I'm forgetting. And it's for children.
Wow.
And it's explicit. They show people having sex in it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's drawn charmingly. And it is just to educate kids. It's not like, giving the kids the porn. It's like, hey, this is what your junk looks like. It's okay to check that out. Sometimes it feels good when you rub your junk. That's cool. Just don't do it in public. You know? And it talks about sex in this way that is not shameful. It's purely educational for kids, and it's brilliant. I think it's got a different title in America. But I don't know. Google search Michael Emberley sex children's book.
Will do. Our reviews on Dr. Dick sextoyreviews.com are pretty graphic,
mm-hmm.
and poke fun all the time, and, you know, I try to make them as smutty as possible, because that's just the kind of person I am, and so is my review crew. I have no guarantees that people, you know, use the toy after reading the, you know, the review. But yours is different because, I mean, it's an illustration.
Yep. So for me personally, I read reviews about stuff like that, and I'm like, I don't understand which hole that's going in. I need to see it.
Right.
And I remember when I was a teen going into Babeland, at the time called Toys in Babeland, and there was like a double dong, and I turned to the clerk and I was like, how does this work? And she was very like, she used her hands to demonstrate where the things were. It was really helpful, and she's super friendly and nice, and so that's what I want to do. I want to show people like, no, this is how it's used, this is how the size is, da 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 da. So yeah.
So, and it's interesting because I know a lot of people in the manufacturing and retailing end of things, and oftentimes they're almost like embarrassed by the products that they are producing, you know, and you know, the pictures on their packaging, you know, I mean, they want to make it as mainstream as possible and as less threatening as possible, but you don't get an idea of how the things are used, you know, and wouldn't it be grand if they could put in inside the package, you know, a little illustrated booklet instead of, you know, something in French and Spanish and God knows what else, saying, you know, this is how you insert the batteries, you know, I mean, it's just, anyhow, that's my little rant for today.
One of my pie in the sky goals is to team up with a sex toy manufacturer.
Oh, wouldn't that be grand?
And get to do like an illustrated guide to how to use this toy or design the box art or, I don't know, like I would love for that to happen.
And, you know, wouldn't it be grand if, you know, if adult products were more playful? Because it's also fucking serious, and, you know, it takes all the joy out of it, if you ask me.
Yeah, you know, it's funny to hear you say that, though, because my experience has not been like that. I have found, you know, because, like, Babeland was my first sex shop that I was going into when I was a teenager. I'm not going to say how old of a teenager, because I don't want to get them in trouble, but you know, they didn't have any sketchy packaging. There was no, you know, like...
That's true enough.
You know, so it was all very bright colors. It was, you know, it was like an Apple store, that slick design. And I didn't get a sense of them, like, trying to cover up what their toys are doing.
Right.
And since then, growing up, I don't know, maybe I just gravitate towards the stores that do have a good aesthetic and, right. and the companies that have a good aesthetic and they're not ashamed and they've got a joke in it. Yeah. But
sadly, you know, those are in the minority. I mean, even mm-hmm. of the sex toy producers. I mean, there are these huge conglomerates, you know, mm-hmm. that are pushing out the most rapacious, you know, toys, and it's frightening. But anyhow,
I've just been really lucky because I've only ever been looking at that minority. Right. And the same is true of porn. I was like, oh yeah, porn's great, porn's fun, and people are like, no, porn is really gross and degrading. And then I'll actually watch a regular porn. I'm like, yeah. oh, this is the porn you're talking about.
Yes, really,
that's
there
not
you
the
go.
Porn I watch.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
I'm very biased.
One of the things that I so enjoy is that your hubby also joins in the action. Did he know that he was going to be in for such a wild ride when he hooked up with you?
I guess so. See, the thing is, he was a fan of my comics before we ever...
Oh my gosh, is that right?
Mm-hmm. No, he'd been reading my comics for several years, when my comics were exclusively, like, lesbian. Mm-hmm. And then I was living in France because it was my study abroad, and he lived in England. And I wrote on my live journal that, hey, I'm going to visit England for a weekend. Does anybody want to hang out? And he was like, hey, I can hook you up with a place to stay. And I sent him this letter, and I was like, okay, listen, I'm going to take you up on this because I was young and dumb. I'd never do that today. But I sent him an email. I was like, okay, well, I'm going to do this because I want to save money. But just so we're on the same page, listen, buddy, I'm a lesbian, so don't you try anything. And he's like, oh, no, I've never. I totally respect that. I think it's super gross when straight guys hit on dykes. Like, I'm not. I would never. I'm like, okay. And then the moment I got off the train and I saw him, I felt like I got hit by lightning.
Oh.
And the only other time that's happened was when I'd met my girlfriend before that, and we, like, that was, you know, one of the first person I really, truly fell in love with, and then I got that lightning feeling, and then I saw him, and I got that lightning feeling, and I fell in love with him. So I don't know, I guess I don't believe in love at first sight, but I believe in lightning
at
in
first
your stomach
sight.
At first sight. And later that turns into love.
I love it.
So, I mean, he had a pretty good idea of what I do from the get-go, and he's actually been my biggest cheerleader, my biggest supporter, and all my best comics have come from his editing and his suggestion, and the funniest Dar strips I did, people are always like, oh, this is hilarious, and it's like, yeah, that was Pat's idea. So, I don't know, I was really fortunate. I met this guy who is amazing, he's funny, he's smart, and he's super, duper sex positive.
Yeah.
And he really, like, he's not threatened by toys.
Yeah. A lot of guys are. Oh, my gosh.
I know. It's so funny because, you know, like, I only watch the good porn. I only buy the good toys, and I only date the good guy who's totally into sex toys. So, I don't know. I've just always lucked out.
So, listen, I've been having this running discussion with several of the other artists that have been on this show, and it concerns the distinction between artist and illustrator. I'd love for you to weigh in on this if you could. Are you an artist, an illustrator, or are you both? And ought there really be a distinction?
So I guess the question, am I an artist or an illustrator? I would say, yes, I am.
Good.
I don't know. I make art.
Yes.
I think of an illustration as this self-contained single image that portrays an idea specifically. Sometimes I do illustrations, but I don't know. Mostly I say I'm a cartoonist mm-hmm. because I don't actually do standalone drawings very frequently. Mm-hmm. For the most part, everything I draw is sequential for a comic.
Mm-hmm.
So I go for cartoonist. And honestly, like, I know people want to quibble about what's the difference between an artist, what's the difference between an illustrator, what's the difference between a fine artist, da, da, da. And I mean, to be perfectly frank, I don't give a fuck.
Mm-hmm.
I've got stuff to draw. I don't have time to waste thinking about that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, people can call me whatever they want to call me. I got comics to draw.
Right. So I noticed that animals feature prominently in your work. Lots of octopi and other sea creatures. What's with that?
I find them very aesthetically pleasing.
Yes.
my artwork is very round and curvy and friendly and inviting and lots of, you know, circular shapes and undulating lines. I do a lot of brush work, so my lines will start thin and then get fat and then get thin again. And octopuses are like the human, well, not human, but the living embodiment of that. Mm-hmm. They make these beautiful round shapes. They're all curves. I really love Art Nouveau, and our octopuses emulate the style, like just the line work that you see in Art Nouveau. So right. I just think they're
besides
real.
Besides, they're erotic. I mean, and you of course make them do the most disgusting things, I might add. So there's that.
I don't know. Like people always are like, oh, you must have this fetish, and I don't actually want to fuck an octopus. I don't look at an octopus and like get hot and bothered. It really is purely an aesthetic thing. And I have octopuses posing with naked ladies because I think aesthetically that's
right.
pleasing.
Yeah.
But I don't actually have octopuses like fucking a lady or anything. I don't think my octopus drawings are overtly sexual, like raw sexual. They're just more like, this is really pretty, and that can be interpreted as erotic or just a pretty image. So I don't know. It depends on where your boner lies, I guess.
Yeah. So then there's also this amazing imagery that is very reminiscent of Christian iconography and other religious themes abound in your work. What draws you to this?
I've always really loved medieval illuminated texts and the religious iconography that the Christians used. That they're so rigid and they're almost the same in their formulas, but then they have these little teeny tiny differences between them, and they're so richly embellished. There's the gold, and it's like my husband hates them. He thinks they're hideous, but I love them. And so I wanted to take I did the Saints of Sex Toys series, and I drew all the classic positions of the Madonna. And then instead of the baby Jesus, I would have them holding sex toys, which was partly to kind of, I guess I was trying to elevate the sex toy to the holy. And I don't know, like I can make up a manifesto about my grand thesis, but really is I just think it's pretty.
Yeah. And it really is. It's so charming. I mean, this is, as I mentioned last week, part of my history. I was a Catholic priest for 20 years, and so I got blown out of the water when I published my doctoral thesis on the sexual attitudes and behaviors of gay Catholic priests in the active ministry back in 1981, and and that just, you know, kind of ended stuff for me. Not because I wanted to stop, but they wanted me to stop. So tragedy. But anyhow, so I want to ask you a little bit about comic conventions. I saw that you were recently in Vancouver for VanCaf.
Yep.
Do you attend others, and can you give us your impressions of these events?
Well, yes, I tend to attend quite a bit. Like the last 6 weeks, I've been doing a convention every single weekend.
Wow.
So I've been traveling 3 to 4 days every week, and then I get sick at the convention, I come home and I'm sick, and then I go to my next convention. So I've been in a continual state of decay for 6 weeks now. I had two more conventions I was going to do in June, and I canceled them because I can't physically survive this.
Right.
But a comic convention is a great big gathering of cartoonists, and they set up tables and they sell their comics to you. And the public comes and they can see your wares and they can meet their favorite creators and buy their books and get them signed and sketched in. Yeah, it's a big old party.
I love it. Do you have any other connections with gay and alt comic makers?
Yeah.
there's a huge community of this. I know the a lot of the people at Class Comics, and I suspect that this association with others is helpful. I mean, you talked about this in terms of collaboration and stuff, because I'm guessing that this work could be very lonesome.
Well, actually, I'm in a very privileged position where I work at Periscope Studio. Mm-hmm. and I am surrounded. There's 2 dozen cartoonists that are members
wow.
of Periscope Studio. Yeah, and we don't have 2 dozen in every day, but we usually have like half of that in the day, and it's really funny because the number of women who are queer in the studio actually outnumbers the number of straight women.
Wow.
By like, I don't know, a bunch. So no, I mean, I know for most people making comics is very solitary, but for me it's very social. I'm surrounded by people, and I'm surrounded by people who have similar lifestyles and mindsets as I do. Mm-hmm. So I'm very fortunate.
Yeah. Some people make the distinction between erotic art and pornography. Mm-hmm. Both depict the body's sexuality, sensuality, even fucking, but they feel that there is a fundamental difference between the two forms of expression. Mm-hmm. Do you share that perception?
I guess a little bit, but again, sort of like the difference between artist and illustrator,
right.
I don't really care. I usually just say porn when I'm referring to any kind of sexual image because I think it's funnier.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, erotic I see as more implying of something,
right.
And porn is more like, hey, this person's getting penetrated kind of a thing. But there's such a sea of gray. So I don't know. I try not to get too caught up in that. If people want to say I draw porn, I'm cool with that. If people want to say I'm an erotic artist, I'm cool with that.
Right.
If they just want to say, like, I'm a cartoonist, I'm even cooler with that.
Right. There are obvious erotic triggers, such as fetish wear and corsets and jock straps and leather gear, breast nipples, cocks, penises, pussies, certain languid poses. Do you think you can sensualize or sexualize the blatantly unerotic, like nature and food and everyday clothing?
Yeah, sure, I think that's possible. I could do that. You give me something, I'll sexualize it.
There you go. I'd love to hear that. Any topics that you gravitate toward? Any topics that you avidly avoid?
I definitely gravitate towards sex, sexuality, gender, bodies, because I think a lot about those things, and I guess really I'm compensating for the horrible sex ed I got growing up, where I thought all sex was rape, and that,
yes.
you know, you just had to put out to your husband
to
keep him from leaving you.
Oh, how nice.
Messages taught to me by my mother, and then when I learned otherwise, it kind of became my mission in life to also tell other people about that, so
right.
I mean, really everything.
So the good news, of oh joy sex.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's absolutely stunning. My entire adult life has been dedicated to that too.
Right. Yeah.
What resistance we get though from the popular culture and even from people who love us, you know, it's just like, oh, how can you do that? But it's so important to me.
Yeah, I guess I just created such a. I mean, it is what I am, so people that don't like it aren't really in my life.
Right.
I haven't had that much trouble with it, being ostracized, being shamed. And again, like, when people do attempt to shame me, it's like, but I'm not embarrassed about this, so,
right.
you know.
Right.
So I don't know, like, it's not too difficult for me. And I know that I can say that because I do come from a place of privilege. I know that, like, the fact that I am white, I am cisgender, I'm not sure, I might be middle class, I'm not sure, I think I'm at the skirt of middle class, and I can do this wacky job,
mm-hmm.
I don't have to go out and hold down a regular job,
right.
Like, those are all really fortunate things for me, and if there were a person of color who was transgender and had to work at a bank, like, they wouldn't get to do what I'm doing.
Yeah, that's true.
They would be punished. They would lose their job.
It's
they would have it harder. So
absolutely.
So I don't. It's not something I take for granted.
Right.
And I, you know, I don't really think I'm being that heroic or anything. I think I've got it a lot easier than a lot of other people do.
Right.
But at the same time, this is the stuff I want to talk about. So
yeah. Good for you.
Of my position.
What do you look for in the erotic?
I don't use it to talk about stuff.
What do you look for in the erotic art of others?
I mean, it's really subjective, so
mm-hmm.
the words I'm going to use, I don't know if I don't piss people off, but I like to see a little bit of class.
Mm-hmm.
I like to see consent. I like to see playfulness and joy. You know, I'm not I like people looking like they're having a good time, mm-hmm. And some creativity. I don't know.
Who inspires you, and who are your sexual heroes, if you have any?
Well, my husband inspires me.
Oh, that's so nice to hear. Honestly, you have no idea how difficult it is to, you know, get somebody to say about, you know, their intimates that they're, you know, they're inspirational, or they're, you know, I love them, and, you know, it's kind of a part of the human condition. It's tragic somehow.
Yeah, well, my husband is my best friend, and he's my hero, and he's everything to me. I attribute so much of the artwork that I create to him. He's my partner in crime.
Right.
So he's my hero. Steve Lieber is also my mentor at Periscope Studio, and he doesn't do anything that's erotic.
Mm-hmm.
But he's a veteran of the comics industry, and he knows his stuff, and he's smart, and he's so encouraging, and he believes in me, and he likes my comics.
Yes.
So he's my hero. And then Ellen Forney, who I mentioned earlier.
Yes.
I really recommend people go check her out. Ellen Forney, Forney.com, I believe. Her work is playful and delightful, and she embraces the sexual and does it with a wink. She's just so good. And Dan Savage, he's my hero.
Yes.
And I know, like, people get mad because he says stuff he shouldn't and blah blah blah. But you know what? The good he's done,
yes,
when he gets it right, you know, he fucks up. He's a human. Whatever. But the good he's done to me, just like, is so outweighs the times he's fucked up. And when he's right, he's fucking right.
That's true.
And anybody who likes my comics, they like Dan Savage.
That's
because
true.
he was the seed for that, you know? The way he talks to his audience, I mean, I guess he's more gruff and makes fun of his audience more than I do, but, you know, his accessibility, his straight talk, like, I am inspired by that, and I channel that into my comics.
Right.
I don't know, my list could go on forever. There's so many people.
Any last-minute advice for the aspiring artist, erotic artist, or illustrator?
I guess draw and write the stories that only you can tell.
Oh, that's good.
Mm-hmm. Like, only your voice could really do it justice. Don't try to rehash what somebody else has done. Don't try to reinterpret somebody else's thing. I mean, you can, but, you know, when somebody reads something, when somebody looks at a picture, they should look at it and be like, that was by so-and-so.
Right.
Nobody else could do
signature so-and-so stuff.
Yeah. And, yeah, so just, like, be really true to your voice. Tell the stories that you really want to exist.
Yeah.
And draw every day, because we all start out terrible.
Right.
I still have a long way to go. And just draw every day. I mean, I say draw every day, but I don't actually draw every day. But it's good advice.
Right. There you go. Well, darling, our time is up again this week. I am so delighted to have had so much of you. It's been a joy getting to know you. What a treasure. Honestly, your honesty and forthrightness and, you know, sheer joy at living is so intoxicating. It's really wonderful.
Thank
you so much. Before we go, again, your website, walk us around, tell us where we can buy your stuff. And
all right. Well, so the main hub where you can find everything I've ever done is erikamoen.com. That's erikamoen.com. And you can find links to all my other comics. You can find links to my store where you can buy my original artwork. You can buy my books. And my great big project is ojoysextoy.com. And O is spelled O-H, joysextoy.com. And where I review sex toys. And I've got all these affiliate codes. So, like, if you buy a product through my store, I get a little cut of it.
Yes.
And,
isn't that a joy?
I know. No, it is. It's, like, it's great.
Really?
Yeah,
I have the same thing going on in Dr. Dick, so absolutely.
Right.
And we want to remind people that you have a wonderful blog, a Tumblr site, a Twitter account, and you're also on Facebook. And that stuff will be in today's podcast posting as well.
Okay.
Darlin, thank you again. Be well. My best to your husband. Tell him thank you so much for being such a great inspiration to you, and because we're all the richer for it, and we will be talking again soon, I hope.
All right. Well, thank you so much for having me. It was a pleasure talking with you.
Be well. Bye.
Bye.
What a wonderful show, huh? Well, that's it for today, sex fans. Tune in next time for more Sex Advice with an Edge with your host, me, Dr. Dick. However, before we go, let me remind you that this week's podcast sponsor is Spunk Lube. Hey, smut puppies! Have you been looking for something to spice up your sex play, but haven't got a whole lot of cash to blow on the effort? I hear ya. Sex toys and fetish gear can be so freaking expensive, huh? But don't give up, because I have something absolutely amazing that will give you and your partners hours and hours of fun for just 15 bucks.
You tell me the story, and you act like you know what it means. But I can see what the true story is, and you can't.
Well, actually, I do know what I'm talking about. So here's what you do. Hurry on over to spunklube.com. Look for their best-selling product, Spunk Hybrid. And this is that famous lube that looks and feels just like your own cum. But it's even better than your own jizz because it's never sticky and it won't stain clothes or bedding. This amazing hybrid of water-based and silicon-based lube is ideal for all you guys out there who complain to me that you don't shoot much of a load, if any. Hey, I'm talking to you, prostate cancer survivors. Spunk Lube will help you overcome being self-conscious about that. Spunk Lube is condom compatible, and you can use it with all your favorite toys, even your expensive silicon toys. And you will love the packaging too. Drop everything and dash on over to spunklube.com and pick up a load of fun. You'll be so glad you did. And remember, Spunk Hybrid is just one of their fine products. And when you visit, tell them Dr. Dick sent you. Okay, until next week, remember, sex is good, and good sex? Why, that's even better. Over and out.